Live, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor, CHI Memorial. And good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed, and it's good to be back. It's kind of an odd time to be back, but here we are. It's been a good couple of weeks off for me, a lot of traveling and fun, Christmas things, and, you know, middle child's graduation from Texas A&M. That's a huge deal. So very proud of her. She did so well, and, of course, you know, a lot of time with the kids over Christmas when one's in Texas and one's in Washington, D.C. You don't see them all the time, not nearly as much as you would like, and I'm so very thankful for that gift of time with them. That was the most fantastic gift I could have received ever. You know, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air about COVID and whatnot. And we'll talk more, I am sure, but I haven't told you. I'm on the list for a vaccine in January, so we had to actually sign up for it in CHI, but I'm glad they're lining them up for us if we want to do that, and we'll see what happens. I'll learn more about our vaccine as time goes on. We don't really know much about what we are going to receive, but, you know, for the patient's safety and also a lot of people's comfort, I think most of us are going to get vaccinated. I've heard a few providers, not necessarily even with CHI, a few saying they're not going to get it. But, you know, it's going to be an optional thing is what I'm hearing. You don't have to do it. It's not forced on anyone. It's a voluntary thing, which is as I think it should be. Although I know there are people that disagree with that and think it should be mandatory. You know, that's just a difference of opinion, and that makes for an interesting discussion. But, you know, I think it will help patients, I think, a lot of people to be more comfortable seeing their providers when they know they've been immunized. And frankly, I get my flu shot every year anyway, so, you know, it's no big deal to me. One of my friends who got one, I did see the CDC now gives you a card to show that you've had it. It's a laminated card, so I've never seen one of those before, except in school-age kids. How about yourself?
Well, you know, it's interesting always for us to discuss these things, and I do know that we kind of want to say that, you know, whatever we speak about with COVID is our own personal opinions and certainly not of the station or of our own businesses or people we work for. So, you know, I'm from the other side. I'm very concerned somewhat of the potential long-term side effects of an unknown vaccine. This one does operate in a different mechanism than the previous ones, working on more of a DNA response. And, you know, I'm with you, though, on part of this, which is we need the world to be calmed down. This vaccine will do that. I mean, I've said for almost every other show, in my opinion, three things have to happen for us to turn the corner, one of which is get the election over with. It's, you know, pretty much there, but we still have to get through the final steps of it. Secondly, herd immunity. It is increasing. There's no doubt. And then thirdly, the vaccine. Well, the vaccine's here, but it's still not quite in the hands of people yet, but it will be before long. I do like the fact that there's going to be a walk-in purchase kit now at drugstores and at GNC, believe it or not, for testing of the COVID. One thing I do want to say, and we posted it, or I posted it on Vital Health Radio, is that the testing that everyone's getting done now is called PCR testing, and it cannot, in the way that it's being done, distinguish between live and the inactive, non-infectious form of COVID, supposedly. Well, what that means is we're getting a lot of false positives of people who cannot infect other people. We need a test that will show only those people who are infectious. That would drop numbers substantially. Will I get the vaccine? No, I won't. You couldn't drag me into it, or if you did, you'd have to drag me into it. But I'm from another world, another camp, and I do have different opinions on that. I do value the potential greatness of this vaccine, and I do believe in everything that I do. I weigh risk against benefit, and there are people who need this vaccine. There's no doubt. I'm not one of those all or nothing people.
Well, think of how long we've known COVID. It hasn't really been that long for COVID-19. You look at, say, hepatitis virus, and when you're doing a test for that, you can know if you're looking at the antigen near the surface of it and the person has no antibodies, that person's just been infected. Or if you're looking at, you know, antibodies to the core, if they're immunized. We have so much more information for most viruses that are out there than we do for this. So, yeah, PCR, as you know, takes just a very small part of the virus. It's like taking, I don't know, a screenshot of a criminal, and all you get is the edge of their mustache, and then you rebuild the entire person from that. I mean, that's similar to what it's like. So it's just rebuilding something so you can test for it. Polymerase chain reaction, just multiplying it by, you know, millions. But it's still a good test, and it's very sensitive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a thing called cycles, and they're running 45 cycles on the PCR test in this country, and other countries have now lowered it to 30 because there's too many false positives in some people's opinions at 45. But it is on Facebook, Vital Health Radio. I posted about why has the flu disappeared. Are you seeing flu in your office, Dr. Green?
Not one case.
Yeah. And when you look at the numbers in the history of all record keeping, it's never been where it is in 2020. We got to ask ourselves, why is that? Well, I think you and I both would agree part of it is a blessing of COVID, because we are wearing masks, we're sanitizing, we're watching what we're doing. Anyone who has a bare symptom of sniffles is probably staying away from loved ones. Well, that's never happened before this year. Is it, too much of that's not good for socializing, but it is reasonable. If you're sick, stay home. Don't be out infecting people. So we're saving a lot of lives by the fact that there's not many people getting the flu. Now, secondarily, maybe we're not looking for it as aggressively because we now look for COVID so aggressively. I don't know.
Well, also think about this. We're about to be switching over a little bit within CHI. But let's say you had called CHI during the pandemic. I always talked about the fact we had a program, we knew what to do with people. We took them through a triage set of questions, and we redistributed all those people into four different clinics that were doing acute testing. But those sick people weren't going to every clinic. So if all the sick people are going to four other clinics, you know, how much am I going to see? Well, virtually zero. Mm-hmm. Times have changed, and now we can screen. If it doesn't sound like COVID, they can come see their provider. It doesn't have to be one of those four unless it's highly likely to be a COVID. So that may be part of the reason as well. And early on in the pandemic, were we testing for flu? Well, no, we weren't. We were looking for COVID. So, you find what you look for in the end. And, you know, but now we're getting back to more of a more balanced care, I would say. So if someone is sick, you know, we're thinking about the COVID. We're thinking about everything else as well as it should be.
I like that. You find what you were looking for. And that is so true. And I do really believe we're on a tipping point of turning for much better times in 2021, don't you?
I like that positivity, Ed. I will take that. I'll agree with you.
It's not this week, but it's going to come soon. And we're all weary. I just, I like the word weary of this COVID thing. And I will have to say I'm somewhat relieved to be almost done with the holidays. They were certainly with the restrictions and things. And I had some family issues with COVID that made us not get together, and it's a hard, challenging time for many, and that will not be the way next year. We are going to be back into a normal life generally, except we're going to hopefully hold on to the gifts of being cleaner, sanitizing, staying home when you're sick, which people didn't really do that. People just kept working through even temperatures back before this year.
Oh, I can remember as a very young man. Keeping nurseries in the church, and people would bring their child and say, well, they're running a fever, so keep an eye on them. I'm thinking, wow, nobody would do that nowadays. You're right.
Yeah.
And another positive, I've taken a lot of plane flights in the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Not a cold. Everybody's being very careful. I will say now, American Airlines packed people on like cattle on the flight back, so they were not distancing. Delta, when I flew, were actually distancing. They were marking out seats, and they were a lot more careful. So I thought it had a better protocol. But in the end, everybody had on a mask. Everybody's being careful and, not so much as a sniffle from flying. And the air purification systems supposedly have been changed. I don't know. I think flying is a little safer for us from an infectious standpoint as well.
Wow. I have not thought of that. And I know that I'm always concerned of the air filtration systems in planes because we know it can be a circulatory system that actually makes people sick.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the technology to stop that, and hopefully the airlines have installed that. It's not that much. It's not that difficult in a home, anyways, or office. I know it can't be in a plane. I did fly 2 weeks ago on my own little plane. I went out and actually Circle of Life Medical Clinic, which I love them to death. Marshall wanted to give her husband a flight in a small plane. He'd always dreamed about that.
Not the steerman in the cold, I hope.
Not the steerman, but in the Piper. And so we had a wonderful flight 2 weeks ago, and he was just like a kid, like seven-year-old kid at Christmas time.
I love it.
And I love people who love to fly because it's not as common as it used to be. But my instructor, who I flew with a month ago, said he had never in his 25 years seen more people interested in getting a pilot's license than they are right now. They are booked up solid.
Wow.
Which I love. I love that. And also boat sales and RV sales have gone crazy, which I did not realize. He told me that. Because people want to find ways to safely enjoy life and be with those that they care about. And
yeah. Remember, I couldn't find a bicycle when I wanted one.
Oh, that's right.
And
yes.
It took a while to find it. But, you know, we're recovering from that as well. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there were shortages in building materials, supplies, home remodeling. Dishwashers, washing machines, all these things you just couldn't find anymore.
Yeah.
So, and we'll recover. Like we have said before, we will get through this. It's going to be okay.
Well, it is time to take a break, Dr. Green. When we come back, I want to retouch on the little conversation last week with Dr. Melvin, local physician, who had some interesting perspective on how she treats COVID. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my buddy Dr. Green. And I know you've been on, like you said, a couple trips for the graduation and something else. And last week we had two interviews. Dr. Viscomi on sleep apnea was wonderful. And
that's an old friend of mine.
He said that, and he missed you not being here. But we
sorry, Vince.
But we pulled it off. And then secondly, at this last moment, we ended up getting Dr. Melvin, who has a clinic called Partners in Care.
And where is her clinic? Because I didn't get to hear it last week.
It is in Eastgate.
Okay.
And she is, I've known her for about 25 years because our kids went to school together, and she's very, very into self-care nutritionally, and also, in my opinion, very experienced in the practice of conventional medicine. Well, she's blended both of those worlds. One reason is because she does have her own practice. I think that tends to help. Maybe you can certainly tell me this. I think under corporate medicine, it's not quite as free for a physician. Is that true?
Well, I mean, you're an employee. So,
Okay. Yeah,
you can't, we have a lot of freedom. Let me say that CHI gives us a lot of freedom to custom our practice. So mm-hmm. they really do. So it feels like a private practice. It really does. Mm-hmm. Ultimately though, I have to remember that, no, I'm an employee, so I am answerable to someone. And, but it's a great place to work. But I remember, say, my dad, I don't think you ever got to meet my mm-hmm. dad, but he was in private practice, owning his own practice for 25 plus years. So I remember him lamenting after he had sold out. He's like, wow, you know, I can't even go replace my furniture. I mean, you know, just things. If he wanted to do something, he had to go through bureaucracy and get permission to do certain things, make changes. And he would lament the freedom that he had had, but he also appreciated all the benefits mm-hmm. of not having the same hassles and worries that he had had. So, you know, I do remember him talking about some of those freedoms, but I think we've gained more than we gave up. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's wonderful. And I can appreciate his feelings because, I mean, I'm used to calling all my own shots. And even if I sold out, which I won't do, but if I did, there'd be part of me that would be kind of glad to give up some of the headaches. But once you're used to being chief, it's hard to not be the chief again. But Dr. Melvin had a great, I thought, perspective, which I know you've heard this, and I certainly have plenty. Despite the challenges of feeling rotten with COVID for a week, if you're the person who feels rotten, the post COVID month can be even more challenging. That is the fatigue and the loss of taste and just the lack of energy that comes with that next month, and sometimes a few complications, but generally and she says this, she says, my patients, I tell them the first time they get positive test, I say, don't think this is the flu where you're going to rest in bed for 4 days. You're going to start feeling better on day 5, and on day 8, you're going to be perfectly fine. It isn't the flu, and it's going to probably take you a far longer time to get back to where you were. So she's huge about this post-COVID advice, one of which is, she says, I tell all my patients, and most of her patients are over 80 years old because she was in hospice for so long. And she says, here's my number one advice. You stay in bed for 3 days. I don't care how bad you feel on day 4. You start moving. You get up. You walk around your house. You start getting your body back into some kind of movement. Does that make sense?
It does. And I was just thinking of the wide variety of responses I've seen. Anything from someone who turned out to have a mild cold to the hospitalized patients. Of those who had fatigue, and I would say a lot, I'd say a majority, I haven't ever really counted, but a majority did have some level of fatigue, some going out to as far as 3 months or more. It can be significant, you know, mono-like, but for those who get it, even worse. And we're not talking about, you know, we talked with the cardiologist about the heart conditions. Some are having that, and that's a much more serious than just fatigue. I'm talking about fatigue with no other explanatory symptom. But, you know, to lay around bed all the time and do nothing, well, it's not good for your spirit or your body. So as long as you can get up and do something, yes, that is good. And some people are getting up and moving around earlier. Some are wanting to go back to work too soon. For those who are having that level of fatigue, just say walking to the mailbox and back is exhausting for them, is what I found. But they're doing that. And I've also, you know me, I've got all my patients, when they were talking about COVID prevention, we're talking vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc. And there's so many different things, healthy lifestyle, exercise. And I'm very thankful that my patient group has done very well when you look at the national average. And the ones that have gotten sick have recovered well. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. But yeah, she's got a much older population from what you're telling me. And mine is not skewed quite that much toward the... you said, what, about 75 to 85 for a lot of hers?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be a much more high-risk age group, and she has a tougher road to hoe than I do.
Yes, she does, and that's wonderful perspective from you. I know that she, and here's her tipping points, and please listen last week. If you go on vitalhealthradio.com, you can click on and go to about minute 12. You can hear the 14-minute advice from Dr. Melvin. But she says that, you know, she immediately puts them on high-dose vitamin D, some melatonin, which is really coming out in research at night, about 5 to 10 milligrams, is protective of the lungs. Quercetin, which helps, is kind of like hydroxychloroquine alone. It forces zinc into the cell. She gives zinc, vitamin C, and sometimes a couple other things. But she also does IV vitamin C's, which is actually, The Lancet had a really good article or posting about 2 months ago on that it might be one of the rescue methods. And I actually never thought, Dr. Green, I'd live long enough to ever witness The Lancet endorsing an IV vitamin C, even though people in my world really believe in it. I've done plenty of those myself, and I do believe that they're outstanding, and they're also extremely safe.
And I've heard a lot of reports. I mean, these are, you know, obviously we're not doing inpatient anymore, not myself, but reports of, you know, ICU providers and inpatient providers doing that as well for COVID patients. So yeah, I guess come full circle. I can still remember in the 1970s all the like posters my dad had on the wall about vitamins, and he was you know, that was very vogue in the 1970s. And then it just sort of disappeared. And by the time I was in med school, oh, you don't need a vitamin. Why would you take that? It's a waste of your time. And we have come full circle, and I guess you would like that. Did y'all talk about ivermectin at all? There have been a lot of studies, just so you know, looking at ivermectin for two purposes. One is prevention, which is interesting. I mean, ivermectin is for worms, but for prevention, and that's a certain dosing versus acute treatment, and the studies are promising. So I've had a lot of providers, several, you know, call and say, will you please put me on this? Here's, you know, age and medical history. I need you to put me on this for prevention until the vaccine is out. Absolutely. You know, it's shown to be helpful. So there's really no problem. It's a lot safer than hydroxychloroquine, I'll tell you. So we've been happy for the good results with that, both for acute treatment and prevention.
I love that. I love ivermectin. And it's one of those situations where it's a very inexpensive drug. And sometimes, I mean, I have to say from my world, sometimes profits do fuel some of the powers to be that make certain decisions. I'm so proud of people like yourself and Dr. Melvin who kind of think for themselves based on good clinical research. And ivermectin's been around forever. It's safe. It's inexpensive. And I would be using ivermectin in a minute if I was feeling ill, even though I've already had it once. I would be grabbing it. If I could buy it over the counter, I'd have some preventatively already. But, you know,
it's hard to find now.
You know,
while you know, medicine never sleeps. So while I'm on vacation, traveling all over the country, you know, people are still contacting me. But one of them did tell me locally when I was calling things back in that ivermectin is in short supply. And one of the Walmarts was telling a patient, they said, "Can you please just take this dose and we'll get your next one later?" Mm-hmm. You know, because they didn't have enough to give both doses at once. So there is a short supply, and hopefully the supply will catch up to the demand, because it's going to get worse until the vaccine is widely distributed.
Absolutely. And again, one other last point Dr. Melvin makes. She takes a check something on the blood called D-dimer. That's how you pronounce it. And it has to do with blood clotting. I love the way that she's preventatively checking to see if you are dissolving a clot, this number goes up. And if it is, you need to be on anticoagulant. You know, in the nutritional part of the world, natokinase or lubricinase is what people use. It's non-drug version. And I'm not saying that you can do that. I'm just saying that is what the literature reads. But, you know, the pharmaceutically, there's plenty of good options for that.
Well, that is very interesting, though. I mean, there is an increased risk of clots in COVID-positive patients. But as she probably said, the D-dimer test is not specific at all.
No, it's not specific, but she also didn't feel like, I think, that she wants to give it to 100% of all patients anticoagulants without some evidence. So, and I want to say that, again, Nutrition World's giving away free vitamin D to teachers and healthcare workers. The research keeps mounting that if we can go into or being around sick people and your vitamin D is at least 50 nanograms, it seems to offer a great deal of protection.
And what is up? I find so many young people with levels like 15.
I know.
Like, how does that happen? I mean, people in their 20s.
It's, and you know, well, of course, lack of sun. And then I just don't know, because if you're lacking magnesium, you can't absorb it in your food sometimes. So maybe it's a lack of magnesium, but it needs to be done. And test it if you can. But if not, come to Nutrition World if you're a healthcare worker or a teacher and want free vitamin D. It is saving lives. I'm actually doing, I have a publicist. I don't know if I told you that, Dr. Green. A lady out of New York. Her name is Amy Summers. And she has got me booked in many cities around the United States. I did a big hour-long last week in Atlanta. I've got Portland, Oregon, Chicago. And, you know, I tend to be swallowed up in my own world, thinking that people know more about what I do than what they really do. Well, the masses don't have a clue about vitamin D, and they also don't know that the darker your skin is, the less you make it. That's why darker skin individuals have a death rate of 2.4 times that of lighter skin people. And they really think the correlation is the vitamin D. So it's an easy fix, people. It's either free at Nutrition World or just spend $10 and get you a 5,000 unit D.
And a lot of people think that you actually get your vitamin D from the sun, not that it transforms into an active. Yes, it's just a common misconception. And by the way, people, if you don't know, it transforms inactive vitamin D to active vitamin D. But people think it gives you the vitamin D. Do you take vitamin D, sir? Oh, yes, I get at least 15 minutes of sunlight a day. I'm like, that's not what I asked. So, but I hear that a lot every week.
And there's people who cannot convert genetically or for whatever reasons. I do want to say that two of my amazing staff members, Trina and Scott, has sold over 900 bottles of zinc in the past 3 weeks, because they are literally saying, the research shows that zinc is important for your immune system. And people who come in Nutrition World seem to know this. We're not hard selling it like you have to do this, but they're like, yeah, I need that.
Yeah, and I usually do intermittent dosing with the zinc. Do you know what people are saying they do? I'm just curious what people in the community are doing.
I mean, they're just usually doing 30 milligrams once a day with food.
Every day?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And also, the last thing on Dr. Melvin, I'm the self-appointed guinea pig in this city. I'm 63 years old. Well, I'm going to start injecting peptides Monday. Peptides, the amino acid peptides, there's about maybe 20 different ones. Well, there's one that is nicknamed the Wolverine. And what it does is it's naturally stimulating your body to do a certain goal, certain purpose. And because it's totally natural, I'm really into this. Well, I have a friend of mine who, Brian, who had accidentally scraped his shin by missing a step on coming to his house about, I'd say, 7 weeks ago. It was deep, extensive, could not stop bleeding. He finally put, now, believe this or not, this was at 2 o'clock in the morning, he put Gorilla Glue on it. Yes, he put Gorilla Glue. He's nuts. And but I love him to death, and it stopped bleeding. Gorilla Glue, who knows how toxic that is, but he did it. Well, when I looked at that shin the next day at the gym, I thought, this thing's going to take 4 months to heal because there's lack of circulation in that area, this and that. He's 63 years old. Well, he was on this peptide. He'd already been taking it maybe 3 weeks. I have never seen anything heal so fast. And this is called TB500 is the peptide I'm going to use. And it's like that movie, The Wolverine, where he heals with every, you know, superhero guy. And he heals with every injury. Well, I'm going to be a guinea pig for TB500 starting Monday. So I will let you know. There's other peptides for other reasons. But I'm going to figure this out because I'm hacking my system as long as this system's here and breathing. I'm
if you start having knives come out of your fists, I quit.
I'm hoping for, brother. All right. Well, it is time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about, of course, nutrition, health. I'm not going to talk much about where I ate recently, but I have been eating the same place every single day for lunch, and I'm loving it downtown. I'm driving all the way, and I'm not going to say where it is until I come back.
Well, I've been eating all over the country.
Well, we've got that, plus more to come. Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And I mentioned in the second segment, we're not going to talk much about these restaurant stuff, but I have been eating, and I know you've probably been there. I mean, most people have in Chattanooga. My daughter and I go all the way downtown probably 4 days a week to eat at Southern Star. Do you like Southern Star?
I don't think I've ever been.
All right. Well, it's kind of home cooking, but they have the kind of quality that I really demand in foods. Reasonable price. They're open for lunch and supper, locally owned. And I just want to put a big plug for Southern Star. I just, their quiche is outstanding.
Where is that located?
It's near... Urban Stack. It's near right out there.
You haven't seen the sign.
Yeah, right near Southern Surgical Arts and things like that.
Yeah.
And I also want to put a plug in for Dr. Red, R-E-D-D. He was on our show. Best memory on earth. He does outpatient surgical procedures like skin cancers, lipomas, splinters, anything and everything. He's a surgeon of about 35 years. Well, he got kind of burned on the big system, and he opened his own practice where it's cash only. And I went down last week and got a little spot removed again, and I was literally took 28 minutes. From the time I walked in, the time I left, there was no red tape, no cumbersome paperwork. You just go in, he looks at it, he does absolutely awesome surgery, and you walk out 30 minutes later, and you're done. So, Dr. Red at Quick Surge.
So that's an advantage of being your own boss, then.
There's another perfect example of that. He does one person at a time. For those people who are concerned about, you know, I don't want to be around other sick people, this is the place, people. If you have anything like skin cancers that you want to removed, just go to Dr. Red at Quick Surge. Unbelievable.
So, yeah, I enjoyed having him on the show. He's a great guy.
And I want to say that I did a training with a clinician at a company on CBD, and I learned something this past 2 weeks that I had really should have known, because I'm supposed to know all this stuff, but you know, we do the best we can. I have been having off and on aches and pains because partially my intense workout. My shoulder has probably bothered me for 12 weeks. And it's funny because it doesn't hurt when I work out. It hurts afterwards and at night, especially sleeping. And I don't take pain meds unless it's just excruciating. So I really haven't done a whole lot, but it does bother me. Well, I did this training with Green Earth Medicinals, and it was an hour-long virtual training. And they had these studies on there, and also a lot of evidence from just anecdotal evidence. The half-life of CBD is 6 hours. And he was telling us, if you want to counsel people on pain relief, they have to do a dose every 6 hours in order for the activity of CBD to actually reduce pain. But here's what really got me. I haven't wanted to do that because CBD relaxes me too much, and it makes me, I want to be sharp as a knife. And I can't do that usually by taking 4 times a day. Well, he said that the Green Earth Medicinals was formulated to do the opposite. It does not make you sleepy. So I got me a bottle that day after the training. Absolutely a game changer, because now I'm dosing it 4 times a day. Within 3 days, that shoulder pain was 90% relieved. And the only time it's come back is the 1 or 2 days where I did not do my 3 and 4 time a day dosing. So pushing dosing of 4 times a day and Green Earth Medicinals, I love that because that's the one that doesn't make me sleepy.
And I imagine you're a bit like me, and when you're having a really good day at the gym, you push a little harder than you should have.
Well, I did, and I've talked about this also, the 2 weeks you were gone. And again, not by bragging, but I want to be like Wolverine, the Marvel Marvel guy. I did 63 push-ups on one breath as of last 3 days ago, and I'm going to record that. Of course, it's hard for you to see I'm holding my breath, but I'm a huge fan of Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F, who's the Iceman, who has done a lot of magical, really Marvel mystery of types of things, and he's 60 years old, through the use of breath holding and exercising and cryogenics. Speaking of that, I did on Black Friday buy 2 certificates for the float tank at Lucidity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to really embrace, you know, get back into some of my left off the chart kind of thing in 2020, which was float tanks. It is a way to disconnect that is incredible. Have you done that? I don't think you
have. No, that's one of the many things we said we would do, and we still haven't done that in the cryo chamber. I was going to say, too, about exercise. I found one negative for masks: running through the airport with a mask on, carrying your bags.
Oh, how bad was it?
That was painful. So, and I wanted to take it off, but they have so much security there. I knew if I took my mask off and ran, that that wouldn't work. So I was literally sucking the mask into my lungs while I ran. Yeah, I would say that slows you down quite a bit and lowers your oxygen level. So it was a new experience in hypoxia.
Well, but that is a way to train for high altitude, isn't it?
Yes, only I hadn't been doing that. Luckily, I'd been running. So what's bad is I was just thinking about your shoulder injury. And yeah, it's been, I guess, 2 weeks ago, within the last 2 weeks, having one of those great runs at about 3 miles. I thought, yeah, I'm just going to sprint for a while, which I did, and I felt great. Next day, couldn't walk, so tore my right quad.
No.
Yeah, it was painful. You know, it takes a while to heal, and it's totally healed now, but we have to be careful. We are not 20 years old anymore.
Don't
so
say
I hate to remind myself. My relatives remind me when I hurt myself. They're like, you shouldn't push it that hard. But I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. So do you. Mm-hmm. But we still have to have a little bit of common sense. And I won't tell you how fast I was running, but it was way faster than I should have.
I bet you were sore the next day, weren't you?
I was limping all day at work until the nurses were asking what was wrong. So, yes, and I have to say stupidity. Injured by stupidity. But on the flip side, we're telling people get out and exercise. That is going to be something that is going to bolster your immune system, help you to be healthier. So, yes, you still need to be doing it. Just do it judiciously. And if you don't know what you're doing, get a trainer. We have Gold's Gym on a regular basis, and, you know, they have a lot of good trainers. You need some direction if you don't have the experience. You know, Ed and I have been doing gym work, and probably more, we've forgotten more exercise programs than we remember, I will say. There have been so many, but we still learn a lot over the years. If you don't have that experience, get someone to teach you.
Absolutely. And, you know, doing something like running through the airport is not like going to the gym. Yes, it's exercise, but those are easier ways to hurt yourself. If you get in a really good environment with the right trainer, right friend, and you know what you're doing, pushing yourself is less of a risk. Now, I did not hurt my shoulder. I inflamed my shoulder from overuse and overweight. I am a total believer, though, that if we don't push our body into close to the, not over the limit, but getting close to it, that is how we strengthen much of what we do. And in fact, those people who have any infection, if it's reasonably handled by the immune system and you're healthy to begin with, I think it actually builds the ability of the immune system to do better on the next round. Unless it depletes you and causes severe damage, then it can't.
Well, there's levels of damage that are okay. You know the old saying, no pain, no gain. But you actually are damaging yourself when you exercise properly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do cause a little bit of damage and inflammatory change, and you grow and strengthen your body. Just for fun, one time I did my physical right after a very, very big workout the next day, and CPK, muscle enzymes, that should be 200 or less, worth 4,000, 3,900 and something. Yes, I got a phone call from my provider that night. So you're dying. And I'm like, no, that's what my body feels like right now. That's exactly what it feels like. But, you know, there is some natural damage to your body when you exercise. Well, when you do it to the right level.
Yeah, but that's called hypertrophy, and that's what makes the muscles rebuild itself to a stronger level if you do it reasonably. You running through the airport might have been, you know, not that reasonable.
No, but you know, your bones do the same thing. You're both breaking down bone and building bone all the time. You are.
Yes. And it's
well, in the right way, but you build more than you break down, but it has to remodel and grow and change.
And nutrition is so important, and also weight-bearing exercise for that bone mass. I mean, the osteoclast, osteoblast is the cells of the bone that do what Dr. Green's talking about. Well, guess what it's dependent on? It's dependent on magnesium. People think it's calcium first. It's magnesium first, vitamin K, and then calcium, and then weight-bearing exercise. And I tell women over the age of whatever age, where they're not comfortable in gyms or weights, to get a 25-pound weight vest and wear it 30 minutes a day, every single day, and it will put the weight on to those bones that will then cause the cells of the bones to want to accumulate more of the right minerals. So you don't have to go to the gym, but you do need to put weight on. That's why astronauts lose so much bone mass in 1 week, because of gravity not being present.
But they do have good exercise programs in space now. They actually strap them down and pulls them down onto the treadmill.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Oh, I saw it in the pictures anyway. They're running on a treadmill being held by rubber straps to the treadmill.
Wow.
So okay. It's good for them. I mean, they've got to be doing that.
Yeah. They'll come back. It probably would take them a long time to rebuild what they lost in 2 weeks with no gravity. There was an interesting article, and I'm so into the kind of deep functional look at blood work. And this, I'm sure, is something that's not taught very often, but it has to do with looking at and this gentleman who did the research, I did have it posted, I think, on Vital Health Radio. It had to do with glaucoma and Alzheimer's. And he was making this supposition that there's a whole lot that goes on with the immune system against chronic infections. And now, we're not talking an infection where you feel sickly. You don't feel your best, perhaps, but it's like a year in and year out of chronic viral or something infection. And it's now shown that this continued fight against this small molecule of virus can be a huge indicator of glaucoma, or cause of glaucoma and Alzheimer's, and they're both connected. Well, what he did was, he says that there's a way to look at the ratio between neutrophils and lymphocytes. And if you have a 1.5 ratio of neutrophils to lymphocytes, that you actually are in a good shape. If you don't, it may be something to look further into. And I want to say that we do blood testing now at Nutrition World every Tuesday. And instead of once a month, we're going to start doing it every single Tuesday. The lab has moved in downstairs, and so it's going to be far more available. This is a walk-in. You choose what you want. It's very discounted. If you have no knowledge, get with your healthcare professional who can then give you some advice. But everything like this test for these neutrophil lymphocytes would cost you $30, I think, is what she charges, and that gives you a whole host of these kind of numbers. So for those people intrigued by that, it's now available, which I think is awesome.
And all they have to do is get a copy and carry it back to their provider and have a good time. I've had patients do that.
Oh, really? You don't mind that?
No, I enjoy it. There are a lot of things that, and yours is not the only lab, it's probably just the best one, But, you know, there are a lot of labs that are done in those situations that insurance would not have covered.
Exactly.
And I find it fascinating because it's things that I can't order because it would never be covered and the patient would decline.
Well, and sometimes if you did run those tests, the cash prizes could be pretty hefty for that patient.
Astronomical.
I had a lady about 3 years ago who demanded a vitamin D test from their healthcare practitioner, and it wasn't covered, and they charged her $350 for a vitamin D test. It should have been $50 or $60, and she had to pay it.
Yeah, they're high. Let's just leave it at that. So, but you know, I'm sure they base that on some sort of fair market value. But luckily, you can determine what your real cost is and do it that way.
Well, I started getting some more blood work myself, which I'm Mr. Hypochondriac, and I don't like doing those things, but I'm trying to dabble into it. So I did get my testosterone checked last week, and I try to find the ability to get optimal numbers for myself. Homocysteine is, some people believe in it, some don't. I do believe in the fact that it's a risk factor for some things, memory loss and cardiovascular disease. Mine was not where I wanted it. It was 11.9. I want it in single digits. So I added two nutrients, creatine, which actually lowers homocysteine and helps my workout. I'll just do 5 grams a day, and then some methylating nutrients. And I got it down to a 9.2 in 8 weeks. So these things do work, people. They do work. And I'm intrigued, and I love all this blood work stuff, but you probably need to find someone like Dr. Green to help you along that path.
You know, I got several tests on my last physical because patients would ask me my levels. Uh-huh. So I'm like, well, I don't know off the top of my head. So I had the same things done.
Oh, good. All right, my friend, it's time to take a break. When we come back, we will be having some motivational words with Dr. Green, and that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here, 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, and back with my partner, Dr. Green, and we always look forward to this segment with Dr. Green's little special message.
Well, and it's normally the spiritual moment. I will confess to everybody, with Christmas, I did not stop and take the time to write something special, but I'm still going to share a little something with you from, well, one of the things I was reading. First is from Calvin Coolidge. It was a presidential message, Christmas Day, December 25th, 1927. Here's what he said. To the American people, Christmas is not a time or a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, is to have the real spirit of Christmas. If we think on these things, there will be born in us a Savior, and over us will shine a star sending its gleam of hope to the world. I would love to hear that from the Oval Office. If we could only do that one time again, that would be fantastic. And I want to remind people, in the Christmas season, we may be a little past Christmas, but you know what? This is important. And it's reflecting on the words that Mary had heard from Gabriel. I want to remind you guys, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Jesus will be with you always. That is the beginning and the end of the story, the promise of his presence with and in those who open their hearts to him. So that is what I want you to think about today. That is your spiritual moment for today.
That's always lovely. And, you know, I love to collect meaningful quotes or words from other people. I actually have a place in my phone. Anytime I run across something and read it, I will copy and paste it into Evernote, which is my life journal. And on one that was speaking of actually back in history with President Washington when he fought in the war, it said, whose fault was this disaster? Washington wasn't interested in those questions, as he wrote in a letter to Robert Morse from his headquarters that day, "It is in vain to ruminate upon or even reflect upon the authors or causes of our present misfortunes. Instead of looking backwards," Washington said, "we should rather exert ourselves," meaning they should focus on how they were going to respond. His response was a daring attack on the Hessian troops in Trenton the next day, which may well have saved the army and the foundering nation. So it was about how we respond, not about all the misfortunes we've gone through. We have choices. We have the ability to change our life with between our ears, actually. And there was a H.L. Mencken, which was a person in the 1800s, he wrote, and it's so still accurate today, he said, "The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary." And I think we probably both agree on that.
Yeah, I'm reminded as you said that too, and I love that. It's kind of a sad commentary on the current age and what we've been seeing for the last 9 months. But you remember the old saying, you are not in control of your circumstances, but you are in control of your response to them. And that's not always an easy thing to do, to remind yourself and to stop and think and meditate. You know, your hat right now you're wearing says, you know, be here now, but to just stop, be mindful, relax, meditate when there's a bad time on you and not respond in a really bad and unhealthy way. Mm-hmm. That takes some thought and sometimes some preparation and planning that, you know, when it happens, what am I going to do? It's something that we learn with age, I think.
I think that in many cases, it does take some living, some years to understand the need to be able to respond rather than react. And I think in my life, I've had to practice that. It does not happen naturally. And I think it would be like you jumping out of my airplane with a parachute without any previous teachings from someone. It's going to be disastrous. And I think we all, or at least in my life, I've had to work pretty diligently to find that wise discernment and also take that breath, even practicing at red lights that aggravate me or a person who pulls out in front of me is a good day-to-day practice to learn, again, to respond and not react. Because most of the times we react, it is coming from a place that's not going to find much calmness in the end result of what we do and what we say. And even two breaths before you say something can be a game changer. And you're writing that email and then putting it on pause before you hit the send button sometimes just for a minute.
You know, it's a good thing to stop and process. It's hard not to react sometimes, but I like how you say don't react, but respond. I've never been sorry for waiting. I've never been sorry for keeping my mouth shut. Had a great talk with one of my daughters over Christmas about that. You know, there's a lot of teaching in the Bible about keeping your mouth shut. Mm. And there really is, because you can be so harmful with your words if you're not careful. And that goes for texts and emails and social media. I've watched people that I know are good people really cut people down on social media, not make it a point not to do that. But it is such a better thing to stop, relax, reflect, give it some time, process it. If it takes a day, take a day. But you will never be sorry for holding your tongue and keeping those bad comments back. And most times what I find, at least for myself, I can't speak for you or the listeners, I usually find that what was upsetting me so badly really wasn't that big a deal.
In the big picture, I don't think it's ever a huge deal. And I wrote a really long 9-page letter to someone just recently that meant the world to me. It took me 6 hours. If I had pressed the send button after the first 30 minutes, it would have been nothing compared to what I actually pondered and heartfelt wise wrote in an email. But that was because I hesitated over and over for literally 6 to 7 hours. And I'm so thankful that I did, because my emotions wanted me to push the send button. So in life, I'm trying to learn the internal send button needs to be delayed.
So true. And I'm thinking a little quote from my now 24-year-old son when he was about 14. And I don't even remember what I was upset about. He looked at me. Wisdom from a 14-year-old. He goes, "Dad, you know, some things in life are worth getting that upset over. This just isn't one of them." And I burst out laughing, and it just took whatever tension I was feeling, and I was rolling laughing, thinking that was what I needed to hear right now. But it is so true, and I need to remind myself, we all need to, from time to time.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group and website by Avalon Design Studio. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, Georgia, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. Have a healthy, safe, and calm day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.